Hello everyone.
So our next speaker is Jos Pootfrey, and he's going to tell.
Can you hear me? Well, then I will just get started.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. All right. So, you saw the title of my talk, so I'm just going to dive into that. There's a button to press. Is that the alarm? Oh, it's a timer. That's awesome. All right. So you know what I want to discuss, what I want to talk about. But I want to, No slides. Oh, well, it's blue, right? So that's what it's supposed to be. Really? Look, I'm going to hit the button and then something appears. Yeah. Magic. All right. So I want to talk about collaboration tools. And I think there are broadly four of them. So there's obviously chatting. And there are calls, video calls, there's file handling, and the fourth is office document editing. So those are the collaboration tools that, you know, if you're a office worker, I mean, how many of you spend most of your time behind a chair, behind a computer in an office or working from home? Everybody, right? Yeah, that's modern reality. So, yeah, that's what you do, basically. And so, you know, these things have been developing, obviously, over the last years. Again, we're at FOSDEM, so a lot of people are pretty much involved in this timeline, developing stuff, etc. So, you know, there was a time that this was cool and new. That's a while ago. And that's how we would chat. And then people were, of course, using one-on-one chat with this. I'm not going to say the name. Come on, what is it? ICQ. Exactly. Yeah. And you also had Skype coming at some point. That's, of course, for the video calls. First without. And then, files were on an NFS share. And, you know, you would share with your colleagues, making a directory available and this kind of stuff. I mean, sharing is a big word, but if you're on the internal company network, this works, of course, great. And then, we were using Microsoft Office. I mean, calling it collaborative is a big word, but you have a shared drive. You can work on the document. Hopefully you don't get conflicts, it kind of worked. Or you email it, hey, there's that. And then the 2000s came and, you know, WhatsApp came and made like one-on-one chatting much more interesting, and so ICQ went the way of the dodo. And of course for like group chatting we got Slack that first was IRC compatible, and of course when it became better for them to not be, they were no longer IRC compatible because that's the way of big tech. Zoom, I'm just picking out a few brands here, but obviously tons of other companies make stuff. For the video calls, that was really big during COVID, of course. For the files, Dropbox, they really changed, you know, how you collaborate on files, how you sync them, share them. You know, instead of like a company-determined hierarchy on a Windows network drive or something, you suddenly could just share directly with people, so that also got into the business world and, you know, to the despair of many assessment administrators, probably. And of course, then Google, I mean, others did it before them, they just bought it. Let's not think these big tech companies are actually innovative, they just buy it. Started to bring Google Docs, which meant Microsoft had to come with an answer as well, of course. So, open source needed answers to these things. Yeah. Because otherwise, all your data is into the cloud, you have zero control. And that's not the world we want to live in, I think. That's something I don't need to convince anyone of in this room. So we have tools like Matrix Chat and Mattermost for the group chat. We have Jitsi for the video calls or tool like Big Blue Button. OwnCloud, my boss and friend, Frank Karliczek, started OwnCloud in 2010 to build a replacement for Dropbox and, you know, give people a way to share files securely, safely. Collabora, Michael Meeks, also running around here at FOSDEM, brought LibreOffice into the browser so you could also edit your documents. And I mean, that's all good stuff and important. But then COVID happened and suddenly lots of people and organizations had to work remote, and having all these separate tools gets messy, you know. You share the file during a Jitsi call, but it's no longer available after the call, so chat is not persistent. You might have emailed something and it's on the Dropbox, and like all these different tools, they were integrating a little bit, but you get a bit of a, you know, there are gaps. There are lots of gaps in between. And of course, our American friends build a tool that did all of this really, really smooth and really nicely integrated. And then they gave it away for free to lots of places, and then people started using it. And then, of course, after a little while, it was no longer free. All your documents were in it. I mean, it's the usual game that's played. And then you were, well, stuck with these guys. So, you know, at Nextcloud, of course, you might have wondered where that logo is. We have been working on many of these pieces over the years. And, well, we wanted to make sure there was an open source answer to Microsoft Teams. And, you know, I would argue that's Nextcloud Talk, because it can do all these things as well. Yeah. So, as I said, this strategy of integrating everything, bundling it, giving it away for very little money initially, right, because Teams was free, if you have Microsoft 365 anyway, that's really the typical big tech playbook. Yeah, you upload all your data, and then, well, you have the ultimate vendor lock-in, because you can't really export at least the metadata. The files you can get out, but all the metadata, the discussion you had about the file, and who changed it, when and where, all the versions, this is all gone if you want to migrate away. So you need it. And yeah, again, my argument is we really need an open source alternative to this, something that brings all these things together in as easy to use, you can argue how easy to use Teams is, but in a similar interface, but of course that respects users' privacy and gives government in particular digital sovereignty. Yeah, control. So that's Nextcloud Talk. I mean, unlike Microsoft Teams, it's of course completely on-premise. People often ask us, like, oh, do you host? No, we don't. We just make software. We absolutely do not do any hosting. Other companies do. You can get a hosted Nextcloud Talk, but we don't give that to you because we don't want your data. Too much stress. Yeah. So, keep it in your own data center. And, well, I want to talk a bit about why Talk is the right answer to Teams here. So, in the end, it's all about the future of work, right? And so work, that's hybrid, that's on the go, that's working everywhere. And, you know, meetings are online. You have them over a video call or maybe even in weird three-dimensional environments these days. Well, to each their own. And so we try to build Nextcloud Talk to address basically all these different things. So the needs of a modern bigger organization. Yeah, at home, you can run Nextcloud, but most people use it for calendar contacts, sharing pictures. But in the business, of course, you need a way for employees to work together efficiently and, well, integrated also with other applications and tools as well. But again, completely private cloud, on-premise, in your own data center, behind your firewall or VPN even if you want. We have customers who basically just lock it off from the internet, they run it completely air-gapped, and they can have video calls, they can have chat, they can have document editing sessions together with other people. The whole suite is available without an internet connection. So I think that's really important. Now, Nextcloud Talk is basically designed for three main use cases. And the first is team chat. So this is the Slack, the Mattermost, to help a team of people collaborate during the day. Sending hundreds of chat messages into tons of chat rooms. We all do this, right? So if you have a quick look at Nextcloud Talk, I have the feeling that this might be the wrong video. Oh no, okay, yeah, that's a Nextcloud chat room and you can put in all kinds of content. That's integration I'm talking about, yeah? This is an Office document in the chat room, you share it in the chat room, you just edit it right away there. You don't need to download the file and edit it and re-upload it. You don't even need to leave the browser tab. You just go and edit it. So that's the kind of integration that we've built for a team working together. Calendars, Kanban, planning boards. You put it all in the chat. You can work there in one place. And it's the same with Office documents and other things. And, well, you can see my terrible attempt at drawing a sketch. All right, so we even integrated an assistant with AI. Of course, this runs on-premises again, but, you know, AI is very hot, and, well, with Copilot coming, you need an alternative for this as well. So we built our Nextcloud Assistant, which basically offers similar features. You can, for example, have it summarize the chat room for you. So if you come back from vacation and you have like a chat room that gives you a headache with 300 unread messages, there's a button that says summarize, and then an AI makes a summary. And you know, luckily with summaries, AIs don't hallucinate that much. So this is pretty helpful. But there's a ton more, right? The creation of text and all this stuff. Yeah, I already mentioned, I think, the summaries, the other stuff. So, well, there's a summary feature, yeah, exactly. This is quite nice. Can save you a lot of time and headaches. All right, so the second major thing that NexoTalk does is video meetings. So this is, I think, again, the obvious stuff, right? You want to have a meeting with 10, 5, 3, 20 people at the office. You can record a call. You can do screen share. Yeah, we also put in a couple of features to help you maintain your sanity. There's a warning at 1 hour call that you shouldn't have calls that are longer than an hour, probably. A feature I really like is that it tracks the speaking time of each of the participants. I tend to talk too much. This, well, you might have noticed. And having, you know, a timer or a counter that says, like, look, of this 30-minute meeting, you've been talking for 20, maybe let other people speak for a bit, is for me quite helpful. And other people the other way around, it might help you speak up a little bit more. We have a nice whiteboard with virtual laser pointer and all the stuff built in. So it's a complete team meeting platform as well. And then the third main use case, and again, this is Zoom, for example, is used a lot for webinars and really big meetings. So our education, training, these kind of things. And this is, of course, a feature we have as well. So you can invite people. Is it playing? Yeah, not yet. Maybe it starts playing now. Yeah, you can invite people by phone number or by email. And, you know, you can also import a spreadsheet with like 500 participants for a meeting or a webinar. You can then, you know, manage permissions and make people moderator, you know, give them a right to share screen, all these kind of things. Yeah, you can ask input with polls. A nice thing is that you can these days save polls as a draft and then export them to a file and load them in for a new webinar, etc. So again, if you do a lot of webinars and such, you will have a good time with this, basically. Breakout rooms is another one of these things. So if you have like you know, a training and you have a group of 20 people, you want to split them up in 3 or 4 groups. You can then either as moderator assign people to each of the groups, or you can let the system split them up randomly, and then after the meeting they come back into the main room. This kind of stuff is all there as well. So yeah, it's really a great platform for education, collaboration, etc., but with all the other features integrated as well. We have mobile clients, Android, iOS. They generally support all the functionality of Talk. I actually did discover recently that on my iPhone I can do a screen share from the mobile phone during a call. I was a bit surprised by that, but that's cool. There's a desktop client, I think I've shown it already in a few videos, which is really nice. And, well, I'm going to go back to the AI for half a minute. I think, yeah, I've mentioned it already, right? We have a bunch of AI features, so generating images, all the fairly basic stuff. So, for example, if you have a call, you can record it. After the call, you get a transcript of the recording, and you get a summary of the meeting as well, which you can then share into the room. So these kind of AI features we build in. And so none of this sends data to the cloud if you don't want to. So as an admin, you can say, hey, I have an on-prem LLM that I want to use. I have an on-prem Whisper that I want to use. So in our app store, you can choose between different apps. You can then, as an admin, for each of the functions, say, OK, I want to use this LLM. I want to use that LLM. Yeah, this one does the summaries in the mail client. These kind of things are all built in. And we use a rating system to show you, yeah, how safe it is or how privacy respecting it is. So every one of the AI integrations we have has a rating on a scale of red to green. We check whether the code is open source of the, yeah, of the to run the LLM or to train the LLM, whether the model itself is open source, as in the values are available, which means you can download it, run it on your own server or in the data center that you trust. And last but not least, we'd like the training data to be open as well. So somebody can go in and retrain the model, maybe make it more efficient or remove bias, etc. And if a model has all these three properties, it'll be green. If it has two of them, it'll be yellow. And I'm pretty sure you can figure out the rest from there. So that's how we deal with the AI side of things. Another feature I quickly want to talk about is federation. So if, you know, you and all your friends are running their own Nextcloud talk instance, you want to talk together, you can simply invite people from another instance. It doesn't matter that they're on a different server, they're just not a user. And for users, this is completely seamless. So you can have a video call with people from five different servers. You can chat in a room with people from different servers. So it feels like a single, you know, platform where people can work together. And I have to stop. While I was at the summary, we have a replacement for Microsoft Teams. Go use it. Thank you.
All right, any questions?
There's questions time?
Yeah.
All right. Neat.
All right, one of the big questions I have is, Microsoft Teams is one of those corporations that, you know, a lot of businesses use it because it's convenient. Mm. And there's also a lot of licenses that they give to, for example, educational organizations that make it quite cheap to run. How would you convince a company that doesn't really care all that much about data privacy and open source software to actually go and transition to that new system?
I don't, honestly. If you don't care about privacy or digital sovereignty, it's very hard to explain to you what the benefit of it is. Luckily, there are people, companies, but also governments, right? Like if there, I mean, there's a city in the Netherlands. They are experimenting with Nextcloud. I think that's great. But it's not the job of a random city in the Netherlands to make sure that when a certain, often associated with the color orange, president decides to shut down Europe's IT infrastructure, it's not the job of a random city in the Netherlands to protect the Netherlands from that. That's something the federal government needs to do.
Of course, but like, if you have a program like Nextcloud, it has many things that are better than Microsoft Teams, of course. Mm-hmm. But if the costs are so much higher to run it yourself or get someone to host it, then maybe...
Now you need to look there at the total cost of ownership, right?
Yes.
Because companies are paying extraordinary amounts to Microsoft. It's just that the additional cost of adding Teams is zero because Microsoft bundles it and just raises the price on everything else.
Yes.
So the total cost of ownership of running your own infrastructure with Nextcloud Talk is, depending on the company size, competitive or even much cheaper, especially at scale. Yeah, if you're a big company, you pay a lot more money per employee to Microsoft than a small company. That's one of the tricks that big tech uses to keep small competitors out of the market. It's, you know, at scale, it's very expensive, and we are way cheaper. Not intentionally. I mean, open source shouldn't be cheaper. That's not the reason to use it. You should use it if you care about digital sovereignty. You want to maintain running when somebody gets angry at your country for doing something they don't like.
All right.
That's why we should do it, not for the money, I think.
All right, thank you.
I don't think we have time for more questions. Do we have Alexi here already? Sorry, we cannot take more questions. Maybe behind the room, you can talk to us.
Thank you.